Let us pray. Lord, let our hearts be good soil, open to the seeds of your word. And may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, I generally like the lectionary a whole lot, but sometimes it tends to cut passages off in really strange places, and this is one of those times. Because the context in which Matthew situates his parable is important for how the parable is interpreted. And besides that, I'd really just like to add the next verse that gets cut out in the middle, verse 10, because I think that what verse 10 says gets to the heart of how we generally respond when we hear a parable. So, verse 10 reads, "Then the disciples came and asked him," that is Jesus, "why do you speak to the people in parables?" That's a pretty good question. Well, then in the rest of the verses that are left out, Jesus goes on to say basically, well, so they won't understand. You see, parables aren't meant to be easily understood. Parables are complex and puzzling. Parables are not so simple as a single easy explanation like then is presented to us in Matthew. And therefore, while I appreciate the explanation, I don't think it quite gets to everything in the parable. And so I'm left pondering with the disciples in that 10th verse, why do you speak to the people in parables? Why do you speak to me in parables? Just when I think I understand it, there's a twist. Something new that doesn't fit, and I'm left with my puzzle unsolved. I mean, even this simple parable, I find, leaves me baffled at its complexity. I feel like I'm the path in this parable. The piece of ground that doesn't understand the word, and the birds have come and snatched it from my heart. How often is that the case in our lives? That God sows a word in our heart, a message meant for us, but we completely miss it. Why couldn't God be more straightforward? Maybe then everyone could understand, and there would be no room for interpretation or misunderstanding, no room for argument. Why are we left with these strange stories rather than simple formula for faith that tells us how simply how to be and how to act? You know, I wonder if the answer to the disciples and my own puzzlement is found in the parable itself. So, like, as if the question in verse 10 is a key to the parable. So, backwards. After all, it's clearly not a story about a good agricultural technique. As most of you know, I spent quality time as a kid growing up on a farm. So I learned really early about plants. When I was like 4, my dad taught me how to plant seeds. Throughout my childhood, I remember taking these tiny brown and black specks and planting them one at a time in a nice, neat row and carefully covering them over with soil. Of course, I was a small child, so I was extremely impatient. And so any chance I got, you could count on finding me in the garden, looking to see if anything had come up yet. For days, nothing was visible above the ground. And I would think that maybe, well, nothing's going to come off at all. I began to wonder if I'd done something wrong. Maybe the seeds were too deep or too shallow. Or maybe I'd put them in the ground the wrong way. My dad would just laugh and tell me to be more patient and wait. Eventually, the tiny green shoot would inevitably come up out of the ground and stretch up toward the sun. And I would get all excited and go and run and tell my dad, "It's coming up, it's coming up!" He would merely smile at me, and entertained by my total enthrallment at the sight of a single seedling. You know, I've noticed that the farmer in Jesus' parable doesn't plant seeds anything like I did. This farmer just throws the seed to the wind, letting it land where it will, letting it grow as it will. Those tiny brown specks landed in hard places where they were snatched up by the birds. They landed in rocks where they couldn't possibly grow for long. They landed in the weeds to be smothered. They landed on good soil too. Overall, it seems to me to be a real waste of good seed. Not only does the farmer randomly scatter her seeds, she doesn't even seem to care what happens to them. She does not go and check on them every day. She doesn't even seem concerned about whether she planted the seed well or not. The farmer simply disappears from the scene of the story as soon as the seeds are sown. It does not seem like she got all excited as tiny green plants began to stretch up toward the sun. And the new seedlings are left to grow or to die once they're sown. It's such a strange way to grow things, a careless way to grow things. It seems like we could focus on the soil in this parable like Matthew's interpretation about each soil representing a kind of person who receives the word differently. Only a few understanding it and producing fruit in their lives after they get it. I think, however, that each person is all types of soil at any given time. I mean, you cannot honestly tell me that you are always good soil, or that someone else is always hard, dense path. Well, maybe dense. In my own heart, I find all of these things, hardness, rockiness, weediness, and goodness. So I can't help but wonder then if maybe this parable is really about the seed, about God's word itself, about Jesus' own parables. In this parable, the seed is sown abundantly, extravagantly, wherever the wind wills it to go. So too the word of God. It's abundantly, extravagantly sown. Through the work of the Spirit, God's word surrounds us. God speaks to us in many languages, in many forms, in many stories. God reveals God's self in abundant ways, in the word written on the page, in the smile of another, in the majesty of creation, in the eyes of the powerless among us. God pours seeds into our lives and hearts abundantly, extravagantly. We are covered in God's word and witness to us. The seeds in the parable are really tough. They sprout in the midst of anything. They do not need to be coddled by some young gardener. They will grow given any chance at all. So too, the word of God. It seeps into your soul, your very being. It sprouts and grows while you least expect it to. It stretches you toward God. Despite our sinfulness, despite our misunderstanding, despite our fighting, the word of God takes root and, like plants do, eventually breaks the rock in our own beings, transforming and changing who we are. As Isaiah writes God's promise to us, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I've sent it. Though some seed may die where it lands, eventually it will grab root and grow. And so the seeds in this parable will bear fruit on their own. It's really no thanks to the soil or the farmer that they grow. They grow because they must. They yield because they can. So too God's word. It will grow despite us. It will find root and sprout and grow. The word of God is stronger than the evil of this world that would snatch it away. It is stronger than the suffering in this world that would wither it up. It is stronger than the wealth and power in this world that would try to choke it out. God's word grows and changes. Lives are transformed. The world is changed, one heart at a time. And finally, the seeds in this parable are complex. They're not simply little brown specks. They're living things with many layers to them that and dimensions that actually grow and change. So too, the word of God. It's not simple, something easily grasped or clung to. God's word, like a seed, seems simple, small, unsuspecting at first glance. Simple stories easily understood, small children's tales to entertain, to understand, to grasp. But you know, like that seed, God's word breaks open in our lives, burying itself deeply into our being, breaking open in us, changing us, making us new. In seminary, I learned that theology, that the study of God's word, is the only subject that a person cannot master. Instead, the subject, the word, masters you. That's the word of God. It's a living, multidimensional thing that grows and changes and transforms. You know, perhaps that's why Jesus speaks to us in parables. No simple, easily understood rules or teachings to follow can, like seeds, settle silently into our hearts. Allow us to ponder deeply and rejoice in surprise when suddenly God's word bursts forth in us, stretching us toward God. Let us ponder then this word, recognizing that we are indeed soil, rocky, weedy, and all. But God's word is stronger than us and will yield in our hearts 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Hallelujah. Amen.